You're listening to a message from Sevier Heights. To learn more about us, go to www.sevierheights.org.
What a moment of worship. Praise the Lord. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Don't you love the word surely? No doubt about it. Praise the Lord. Whoever thought you and I would live in a time like this, when I can hold in my hand my radio, television, newspaper, dictionary, encyclopedia, camera, picture album, I'm reading it right off this thing, weather forecaster, shopping catalog, I can talk to almost anybody in the world verbally or graphically, I can find my way anywhere, even with my poor sense of direction. And best of all, when you call me, I hear the Kentucky fight song. I mean, what could be better than that? Amen? What could be better than that? Now, some of you know that I'm not very savvy with technology. I'm just not very bright with that stuff. I know how to call and answer and text and email, but I don't know a lot about it. So one of my fears as we think about this lie that we tell ourselves is that I would say something really dumb and you'd laugh at me because I don't know the difference between a lot of things on this thing. So I've tried to be careful. And for one question I had was, I don't know the difference between an iPhone and a smartphone. And so I was afraid I'd say the wrong thing. So I just looked it up. What's the difference between an iPhone and a smartphone? And this is what it is. A smartphone is a smart device, one that has the ability to access the internet and has apps and customization. Smartphone and iPhone have one difference, and that is the iPhone uses the OS, is iOS, and the smartphone uses the Android OS. Otherwise, iPhone is one of the smartphones. That cleared it right up for me. And so now I know what we're talking about. So I'm going to call this an iPhone, whether it is or not. Think about the blessings. Think about the blessings of this phone you have. Can you imagine going back to a time when there was no iPhone? How would it affect your communication with your family and your communication at work? Some of you could not even do your job if it were not for your iPhone. In our staff at Sevier Heights, I cannot imagine what it would be like trying to minister to these all of the people in this church without iPhones. I just cannot begin to imagine that. What a blessing it is. And those of you who really know how to use it could probably tell hundreds and thousands of ways it is blessing and encouraging your life. Every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of light. So I thank the Lord for the iPhone. Did you hear the testimony this morning in the baptism? There were two young ladies baptized, or a young man and a young lady. Her name was Jillian, and she said, I picked up my phone and called my fiance, and he led me to Christ on my phone. Now, that's a blessing, isn't it? That's a blessing of the iPhone. You can disciple people on your phone. You can share the gospel on your phone. You can communicate with people how to grow in the Lord. Jason Talent, our pastor in Boston, when he was a pastor in Arkansas, he was talking to a lady, with the text and all, and she was in California. He's in Arkansas. He began to share the gospel with her. She came to know Christ, and last year she went to Boston and he baptized her. That's the blessing of things like this. So one thing I know for sure, there's nothing that my iPhone can do to hurt me. Is that true? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but my iPhone can never harm me. That is a lie. We know that's a lie. It is an absolute lie if we don't understand the danger of this instrument. And moms and dads, I want to tell you, for your children and for all of us, but especially for your children, your young teenagers, your teenagers, this device is as dangerous as the car you drive and the gun you shoot if you don't know how to use this to the glory of God and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So I want to share with you this morning just four simple dangers of the iPhone. Four simple dangers of my iPhone and your iPhone. First of all, there is the danger of what I call iPhone addiction. You and I can be addicted to our iPhone if we are not careful. It's so easy to drift into that addiction. Just like you can be addicted to alcohol or drugs or pornography or anything else in life. You can be addicted to golf. You can be addicted to football. You can be addicted to anything. And what that means is that is something that was intended to be your slave becomes your master and you become the slave. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I will not be brought under the control of any. Are you the master or is your iPhone the master and you are the tool, you are the slave? And Paul was talking to the Corinthians about ethics, about right and wrong. And he made this statement, all things are lawful for me. Now, what did he mean by that? He meant by that, if there is something that I am doing, there's no commandment against it in the Word of God. There's no principle against it in the Word of God. There's no reason. It doesn't bother my conscience. Anything is lawful for me, as long as it's not condemned in the Word of God. Anything is lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the control of anything. I will not become an addictive person to my iPhone. And that's what can happen to any of us very, very easily. Are you an addict of your iPhone? iPhone addiction. Let me ask you some questions. Just take a little test. Let's all take a little test to see if you may be addicted to your iPhone. Number one, when you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you do? Do you look at your iPhone? Check on what happened while you were asleep? When you go to bed at night, is the last thing you do to check your iPhone, Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram and all of those things? Is that the last thing you do before you go to sleep? Number three, when you're eating meals, are you always looking at your iPhone? Number four, when it pings or beeps, can you ignore it? Can you ignore, or do you have to run to it and respond? Number five, can you stand still without checking your iPhone? I mean, you're in a line waiting to go someplace and you got your iPhone. Can you stand there without checking it? Number six, do you text while you're driving? Number seven, would you rather go a day without food or without your iPhone? Are you addicted to your iPhone? Now you say, where'd you get those questions? Right off my iPhone. It was right there. Are you addicted? Because if you're addicted, I want to tell you something. Unless you do something about that, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. It is going to get worse and worse and worse till it paralyzes your life. And we all know people that are at that point. They're so addicted, they can't function in life without their iPhone, without checking at social media and all of the other stuff. So there's the addiction. And if you are addicted to the iPhone, if I'm addicted to my iPhone, what do? You got to call out to Christ. Lord, I give my iPhone to you. Lord, I trust you with it. Lord, I beg you to set me free. The Word of God says sin shall not have dominion over me. And if this thing has dominion over you, it has become a sin in your life. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Lord, I have died to sin. I have died to the old life. I am a new person. God, I ask you by the Holy Spirit to give me power to live like the new person I am and to break the addiction of my iPhone and then get with somebody that you trust and look up to and that can be a good partner, a good counselor, a good friend. You're probably not going to do it by yourself, like many, many addictions. And God gives us the church and other people to help us through those addictions. But I hope you understand, there really is iPhone addiction. A second danger I think about is what I call iPhone distraction. iPhone distraction. When we are continually being distracted, no matter what we're doing, how important it is, when that thing goes off or beeps or pings or whatever, we are distracted so that we've got to turn to it. iPhone distraction. You see, the Word of God says following Jesus Christ has to do with setting our mind. That's a phrase the Bible uses many times. Set your mind. Concentrate, focus. Colossians 3:1, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, that doesn't mean you're always setting your mind on the gates of pearl and the streets of gold, but it is talking about the fact that you set your mind on biblical principles, spiritual principles. When you're working by biblical principles. When you're playing by biblical principles. When you relate to your family and friends and enemies, you're doing it by biblical principles. So you're setting your mind on things above. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, if you are in the Holy Spirit, that is, set your mind on the things of the Holy Spirit. Stay focused in life. And yet, if you and I are totally distracted by our iPhone, and really we're living in the area of cyberspace and Facebook and Instagram and chat and all that kind of stuff, we can't stay focused if we're so easily distracted by our iPhone. Sometimes that distraction is deliberate. Why should I clean the house when I can play games on this thing? Amen. Why should I do my homework when I can talk to my friends without getting out of my house? Why should I start that project at work when really I could spend the first part of my day checking all the scores and who won and who lost last week? I mean, it can distract you. And one of the problems many of us have is the problem, the affliction of FOMO, F-O-M-O. You know what that is? Fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. If I don't continue to respond to this thing when it goes off, there's something I'm going to miss. I'm afraid I'm going to miss who's dating whom and who breaks up with who and who's mad down at the church and who's doing this and who's doing that and who's telling jokes and all of those kind of things. I can so easily be distracted. Do you know, I believe Lot chose the area towards Sodom because he was afraid of missing out. Not because he wanted to do the right thing. It looks so good. I'm afraid of missing out. I believe David stared in lust at Bathsheba. He was afraid he would miss out. I believe Solomon worshiped other gods. He was afraid he'd miss that experience, afraid of the fear of missing out. And you and I can be so captivated that we're easily distracted. Do you have goals in your life? You have dreams. You have plans. I mean, the things that God has laid on your heart, that God has said, this is my plan, this is my goal. You have goals for your family. You have goals for your career, goals for your education, financial goals, spiritual goals, physical goals. If you're going to meet those goals that God has given you, it's going to take something. It's going to take concentration. It's going to take energy, physical energy, spiritual energy, emotional energy. It's going to take focus. It's going to take time. It's going to take concentration. It's going to take planning and commitment and carrying that out. It's going to take prayer. And if you're totally distracted by an iPhone, you're just not going to do those things. Your life is going to be divided between the pings and the pongs and what goals God has for your life. And the danger is one of these days you can look back and you can say, man, why did I fail? Why was I not what God called me to do? Why did that dream never come true? And you realize that if you're an average American, every 4.3 minutes you check your phone. Every 4.3 minutes. That means while I'm preaching, about 7 times you're going to check your phone. That makes it tough to preach. I don't know what you're doing right now. I have no idea. With your iPhone. A total distraction. Now, I'm not saying the iPhone can't be fun. It's fun. I enjoy it. Alabama played Clemson the other night, and I began to, now he started it. This Alabama fan called me or texted me, and he said, roll tide. And then the game turned around, and I said, look like the tide's going to be rolled. And we kept going back and forth, and he said, finally, would you go to bed? It can be fun, but it can also be so distracting that you lose your concentration about life. There is iPhone addiction. There is iPhone distraction. And then thirdly, there is the danger of iPhone seduction. iPhone seduction. And you know how seducing it can be. I believe this is a wonderful gift from God, but I believe it's a gift that Satan has perverted, Satan has kidnapped, Satan has intercepted, and Satan has taken this and made it the most dangerous thing of this generation to the hearts and the minds and the eyes of so many of us, even followers of Christ. the seduction of pornography, and we all know that. Somebody has told me, I don't know, somebody told me it's as easy to get pornography on your phone as it is the weather forecast. I've never tried, I don't know. But I do know this, pornography is the largest industry in our nation, bigger than NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball all combined. I do know this, that many, many followers of Christ, I'm not talking about nominal Christians, I'm talking about deliberate followers of Christ, like so many in this room. If you're between 18 and 29, about 50% of Christians are ongoing with pornography in their life on a regular basis. That's men. For ladies, it's about 10% from age 18 to 29. And all the other ages have different percentages who is hooked on pornography. And the Bible still says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, I've never been unfaithful to my wife, you say. No, listen, Jesus defined it in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whoever looks at a woman and lusts after her in his heart has already committed adultery in his heart. How could you look at pornography and not commit adultery? And Jesus Christ said, it's a sin against God. It's committing adultery. Paul said, flee, run away from fornication, sexual sin. He said, flee, run away, Timothy, from youthful lusts. And there is that seduction of pornography. And moms and dads, your little children, now, I don't know what time you start giving them an iPhone. I'd say about 47 if it were up to me. I don't know what time. But I want to tell you, there's an age where they don't need to have an iPhone. And then when they get old enough to have an iPhone, you've got to watch, you've got to protect, you've got to guard, you've got to shield. I don't know how to do any of that technologically, but you can do it. And you have to do it. Can you imagine dropping your child off at one of these adult stores and saying, I'm going to wait in the car, you go on in? Would you ever do that? Of course not. And yet you're doing something like that when you give them that iPhone unguarded, unprotected, unshielded, and you're not watching and talking and taking care of what's going on. There's that seduction of pornography. Chat rooms. Never been in one. Don't really know what they are, but I do know this. They destroy marriages. They destroy marriages. And you begin to look in that chat room and you begin to talk to somebody you don't know and you don't know who they are and they don't know who you are. But if it's a person of the opposite sex, it gets interesting, I've been told. And then it gets attractive. And then you may be lying to each other, but whatever, it gets attractive. And then you begin to be emotionally pulled in that direction and then conversationally pulled in that direction in ways that are not appropriate. And you begin to lose that attraction and infatuation with your wife and that love for your wife and going the other way. And I want to tell you, many, many marriages have been destroyed in that way. And the same way with this, you say, I think I've got an idea. I think I'll just check on my old girlfriend and just see how she's doing. I won't hurt anything. My old boyfriend, our old flame, I just want to talk to him. I'll just find him or here and I'll say, how you doing? Think I'll do that. Let me give you a suggestion. Don't do that. Don't ever do that. Nothing is more dangerous to your marriage than to check out that old flame. And you begin to converse and talk and you begin to reminisce and remember. And before you know it, you're living in those days and your heart is divided between that experience many years ago and your wife of today. Don't do that. There's the danger of iPhone seduction. And I believe there's another seduction on the iPhone. I believe it's the seduction for approval. You know, I don't get approval from mom and dad. I didn't get approval from my schoolmates. I didn't get approval from anybody. I don't get approval at church. I don't even feel like God approves me. I'm going to get approval someplace. And I've discovered that if I go on iPhone, I can get people to approve me. I can get what's called a like. Do you like my picture? How many likes can I get? Do you like my joke? Do you like my intelligence? Do you like my words? Do you like my wit? Somebody like me. Somebody like me. Somebody approve me. And again, it's not wrong to use social media. But if that's your way of getting approval in life, You need to change your mind and understand spiritual truth about approval from God and how you're accepted by the beloved in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something I don't understand. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's weird. Selfies. Have you ever heard of anything any more weird than selfies? You say, well, what do you mean? What do you think about this? Let's go back about 25 years. There was no iPhone. There were no selfies. And you know how in those days, granddads would have their billfolds full of all kinds of pictures of their grandkids. And every place they go, they, have you seen my grandkids? No, and I appreciate it. And every place they go, they pull out the picture of their granddads. Now, what if back in those days when there was no iPhone, you took your old-fashioned camera and was always taking a picture of yourself, you put them in your billfold, and you went around and you said, have you seen the latest picture of me? Isn't that great? Isn't that what it's like? Here I am in the mountains. There's a beautiful view, but I don't care. I want a picture of me. Here I am with John Cormack. He's playing the trumpet. Don't I look good? Here I am on the beach. Look at these sandals. They cost a lot of money. But don't I look good? I'm standing in these sandals. It's all about me. Here I am at the football game. Do you like my sweater? Yeah, dummy. It's the same sweater you're wearing right now. Can you imagine? Here's me having my quiet time. Aren't I holy? Can you imagine? Show pictures of me. Now, am I saying it's wrong? No, I'm just saying it's weird. That's all I'm saying. There's the seduction of the iPhone. And then very quickly, there's the danger of iPhone destruction as it can destroy our lives and the lives of our children. Jesus said this, or the Bible says this about Jesus. It's one of the few verses about Jesus when he was a child. Luke 2:52, and he increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and favor with man. Now, that's the way our children are to develop. They're to develop in wisdom, learning how to study and learn and have common sense and have God's wisdom and make right decisions. They are to develop in that way. They are to develop physically. They are to develop spiritually. They are to develop socially. Wisdom, stature, favor with God and favor with man. And the iPhone for your kids can stunt that growth, stunt that development, so they never really get developed, even physically. This generation of kids and young people is probably the most unfit physically generation America's ever had. You see, we have a generation of kids. Why should I go out and play basketball in the driveway when I can play it in my room and eat potato chips? And you find more of them playing football on this than they do in the yard. He grew socially. How many of you know folks that live like that, and they communicate like that, and they text more than they talk, and they've come to the point they cannot look you in the eye? There's no communication skills, face-to-face, with facial expressions and tone of voice and body language and all of those things that are so important in communication. You lose it all when you spend your time communicating on there with your fingers. He grew in socially. He grew spiritually in favor with God. Even though he is God, as a man, he grew in favor with God. And I'll just say this. I think as a general principle, the more time you spend on your iPhone, the less time you're going to spend alone with God. Now, I'm not saying that you can't use your iPhone spiritually. Some of you are looking at the Word of God. If I use the Word of God, I hadn't used it today hardly. But some of you are looking at normally the Word of God on your iPhone. That's great. Praise the Lord. But in general, in life, the more you look at your iPhone, the less time you're going to spend with God in prayer and the Word of God. I believe that. So there's that danger of destruction that can destroy our children socially and spiritually and mentally and physically. One thing I know for sure, my iPhone will never hurt me. What a lie that is. Let's bow our heads for a moment. I want to give you a challenge today. No, I'm not going to challenge you to give up your iPhone. But I want to give you a challenge. Some of you will not do it, I know. And I believe one day you're going to be sorry if you don't come to the point where you can do this. I believe some of you are going to do it. If your iPhone is with you, just hold it in your hand. If you don't have it with you, just pretend you have it with you. And would you pray this? Father, I thank you for my phone, for the gift of it. And right now, Father, I give it to you. It's no longer mine, it's yours. I pray, Lord, that you will give me the wisdom to use this in a wise way, to use it to bless other people, that I might use it to glorify you. And Father, give me the leadership of your Spirit not to use this thing in a way that does not glorify you, in a way that would hurt your name. Would you be willing to pray that? And for those here who've never come to know Jesus, I know this doesn't make a lot of sense to you. But think of Jillian baptized this morning who prayed to receive Christ over the phone talking to her fiance. And the gospel says God loves you just like you are, unconditionally. He has a gift for you, the gift of eternal life, that when I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I'll fear no evil. That's what he wants for you. And today, you know he died for your sins and rose again. Why don't you, by an act of the will, say, Lord, I turn away from sin the best I know how, and I trust Christ as Savior and Lord. I'm asking you to come into my life and change me and save me. Forgive me. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God and the principles and the teachings and the commandments. And Lord, just showing us how to live life in the Word of God. And most of all, showing us how to go to heaven. And God, may we listen to the Holy Spirit even in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.